fitting song after the sermon, after prayer. It was Psalter 83 based on Psalm 32. And we'll sing 83 all stanza after a word of prayer. Dear church family, visitors, and friends, I read a statement this week with which I want to begin this sermon. The person wrote, "Jesus is too great a Savior for us not to run to Him daily." And what I mean with so introducing this sermon, beloved, do we realize how infinitely rich and perfectly suited is the gospel tidings of great joy for miserable, hopeless sinners like we are in ourselves? The gospel of Jesus Christ is abundantly sufficient and superbly fitted for us in our every need, initially and for all our lifetime, even into eternity. We want to see that in a special way this morning in studying together the doctrine of justification by faith, as also taught wonderfully in Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23. Paul, the apostle, says in Romans 3:24 that we are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We will have as our text more particularly Romans 5:1-2. There, as we read, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Looking at this passage and other texts, and keeping in view the Heidelberg Catechism's faithful teaching on justification by faith alone, we will cover four main points about the precious and powerful Christian doctrine of justification by faith alone. Namely, how this biblical teaching is Trinitarian gospel truth, trustworthy gospel truth, transforming gospel truth, and tremendous gospel truth. Before we go to those points specifically, it's important for us to realize how crucial the doctrine of justification by faith alone is, truly, and just a brief explanation on it as we dig into our points afterwards. When Martin Luther rediscovered the biblical teaching in the 16th century Reformation movement about this gospel truth of justification by faith alone, this matter, he thought, is a cornerstone gospel truth. It's the article of the Christian faith distinguishing the standing or falling church not only, but also the standing or falling Christian. It is true, as another has said, probably more trouble is caused us in the Christian life by an inadequate or mistaken view of this doctrine, justification by faith alone, than any other. When the child of God loses his sense of peace with God, finds his concern for others dried up, or generally finds his sense of the sheer goodness and grace of God diminished, it is from this fountain that he has ceased to drink. Conversely, on the other hand, if we can get a strong grounding here about justification by faith alone, we have the foundation for a life of peace and joy inexpressible and never-ending, regardless our circumstances. And here, right away, let me then give a brief explanation of justification by faith alone, as stated in the Bible and in our confession. The doctrine of justification, congregation, has to do with our right standing before God. In our natural standing before God, the Bible makes very clear, and you know too, don't you? We are all born into this world as sinners, guilty sinners, fallen in Adam, and wicked and depraved people by nature. So coming into this world and living as sinners, you understand, we are not, you and I, naturally subject to at all to being justified before God. But rather, of ourselves, in and of ourselves, only always we are condemnable before God. And we stand condemned before Him. Think here of Psalm 143, verse 2, where David prays, "Do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous." In Romans 3, Paul, he shows there is none righteous, no, not one. So how in the world can sinners like us, you and me, ever be justified before the righteous and holy God? Your congregation, you know, I think, we live in a world, both the secular world and much of the religious world, that promotes in one way or another, you and I can save ourselves. If we only put our minds and hearts to it, the idol gods of all mankind and of all false religions teach you live right, just live right, and you will have God's favor. Surely He will do you good now and forevermore. Just live right. Think of the one-month religious ritual of Ramadan, which ended, I think, May 2nd, where people for a whole month didn't eat throughout the day, for 15 hours a day, I think, to somehow appease and please their so-called God, Allah. It's a religion of works, one of many, that is trying to win over their idol God, and it keeps people in bondage and in hopeless self-efforts that gains them nothing, certainly before the one only true God before whom we all have to do. But this is all our natural inclination, isn't it? Somehow to save ourselves, if we think we need any saving at all. It is the Christian faith alone, dear congregation, as taught us in the Bible, that teaches if any works of ours must be a contributory factor in our salvation and in our free access to God and under Him for His approval and in our entrance to heaven one day, then it is forever hopeless and forever always will be hopeless for us all if something we do contributes to our justification and salvation before God. For we are all sinners by nature. And there's none that does good, no, not one, says Paul. Rightly, in Romans 3, we have never done a sinless act or thought or word in our life. You and I never can do anything acceptable for earning our salvation and righteous standing and approval before the holy God with whom we each all have to do. So what is the doctrine of justification by faith alone? Well, it teaches us that Jesus Christ, as sent of the Father, and come to seek and to save sinners, come in the flesh, come to seek and to save sinners, guilty, depraved sinners like us. He came to this earth as a man, and He lived as a man in the sinner's place, the sinless life we cannot live, that God rightly demands of us. Jesus lived that sinner's life, lived that in the sinner's place, while at the same time, He paid the full righteous punishment for all the sins and sinfulness of His people. Congregation, Jesus didn't just die for our sins on the cross. No, He also lived the life God rightly demands from us on behalf of sinners. And now justification by faith means believing in this Jesus, that is, entrusting our sinful selves to Him. God then totally, freely justifies us. That is, He then declares us legally and for all time no longer condemnable in His holy sight, but as rather totally, perfectly righteous and justified in His sight, all for Jesus' sake alone. The Lord does this justly through the cancellation or washing away of our sins by Jesus' shed blood. And at the same time, through His crediting or imputing to our account Jesus' life of perfect righteousness and sinlessness lived out by Him before God and man in all His lifetime here on earth. In Romans 4, verse 5 and 6, Paul expresses this most strongly, stating there, "But to him who does not work, but believes on Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness," just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Congregation, God can justify undeserving, sinful, depraved sinners like us, and he does so only always most rightly, graciously, gladly, and lovingly. Whoever by faith looks to Christ and calls on him. For then God sees us, you see, in Christ Jesus, the very perfect Savior he sent to save us from our sins by his death and resurrection on sinners' behalf. When believing on Jesus Christ, the Christ of Scripture, God views us in Christ and through Christ and his finished work as Savior and sin bearer, and so no longer having any sin to be paid for, but indeed all washed away through Jesus' shed blood, and also declaring us righteous as Christ perfectly was and remained in all his lifetime here on earth. Thus, as Paul says also most beautifully and passionately in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 to 21, expressing this precious, powerful Christian doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Paul says there, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for God has made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, with justification, beloved, double imputation takes place. A twofold transfer is made, you might say, allowing for our justification to be sure. For all who believe with true faith in Jesus as only Savior and Lord, your sinful record is taken care of by him. And Jesus removes it all by his sin-atoning blood of the cross. And at the same time, Jesus' perfect life of righteousness and holiness is imputed or credited to your account, making you indeed then justly justified by faith alone in Christ alone, the one and only Savior of sinners. Well, it's all this and more that gives reason for the beautiful gospel lesson of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23. On this grand gospel rediscovered doctrine of justification by faith alone, when the church returned to the Word of God. After having explained the glorious gospel truths as summarized in the 12 articles of the Christian faith, then we have these following question and answers, so central and most comforting in the life of all true Christians. Let me read them again to you. But what does it profit you now that you believe all this gospel? Answer, that I am righteous in Christ before God, and an heir of eternal life. How are you righteous before God? Question 60. Only by a true faith in Jesus Christ, so that though my conscience accuse me that I have grossly transgressed all the commandments of God and kept none of them, and am still inclined to all evil, notwithstanding, God, without any merit of mine, but only of mere grace, grants and imputes to me, credits to my account, the perfect satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ, even so as if I never had nor committed any sin, yea, as if I had fully accomplished all that obedience which Christ has accomplished for me, inasmuch as I embrace such benefit with a believing heart. Why do you say that you are righteous by faith only? Answer, not that I'm acceptable to God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and that I cannot receive and apply the same to myself any other way than by faith only. Well, now to bring this grand and glorious, gracious gospel teaching closer to home and more clear and dear to us, consider our four main points about this doctrine. And even as I do so, I pray God will bless it now to your mind and heart, that we all glory in his grace in Christ Jesus. It could well be some of you have not yet discovered the wonder of the doctrine of justification by faith. And God may bless you with it today. And those of you who know it, won't you love it still all the more as you hear of it again and again? It tells us Jesus is truly so great and gracious Savior for all of us to run to him daily, time and time again. So let's think of our points. First then, notice with me, especially from our text in Romans 5, that this doctrine of justification by faith alone, is a Trinitarian gospel truth. And what I mean with that, congregation, is that it is the gospel of God triune, the whole Godhead, in all His fullness, in the salvation plans that He designed, and the salvation work of each person in the Trinity, in accomplishing so great and gracious and glorious good salvation for such undeserving, guilty, hopeless, helpless, hell-deserving sinners as we are in ourselves. You see, God knew, congregation, in eternity, in a way we can never fully understand, that all mankind would fall into sin and become forever hopelessly defiled and condemnable as sinners headed to destruction. But that same God then, you see, in eternity already, He planned and in time He accomplished a way of salvation that would not require one stitch of righteousness or worthiness in and of ourselves. And the way of salvation, that way would be all of God, through God, and to God, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And that way, congregation, is through Jesus Christ, God's Son, and faith in Him as worked by God the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. And faith itself, let's be clear, as question and answer 61 also explains so well, can never be counted as a contributing part of our salvation. Of course not. Because, well, faith itself is a gift of God. Plus, the nature of true faith in God our Savior is not ever coming to Him with something contributory of ourselves. No, but rather true faith is always the exercise of humbly confessing once and again before the Lord, we have nothing of ourselves, nor any basis in ourselves that You, O God, should help us and save us. Yet please, Lord, for Your own name's sake, look upon us, look upon a sinner like me in and through Your Son, that Savior whom You sent into this world to seek and to save helpless, hopeless, forever condemnable sinners as we always are and remain of ourselves in this life. Well, does this resonate with you too, dear congregation? Consider with me here then the wonderful riches that the doctrine of justification by faith alone is a Trinitarian gospel truth. Doesn't this come out in Romans 5 verse 1? Do you see there with me all three persons of the Trinity involved in this most gracious doctrine of salvation, justification by faith alone? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't God the Son referred to in this verse, in the person and work of the Savior, mentioned in the last three words of the verse, in all His fullness, our Lord Jesus Christ, for His people? And then the phrase, peace with God, refers to God the Father in all His justice and mercy and holiness and glory. The peace here, which with God refers here not so much to our subjective feelings of peace, but rather to our restored, renewed relationship of peace with God as Father, being reconciled to Him through Christ, and now once again through our faith in Him, no longer standing condemnable before Him. And the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the text, not by name, but He's referred to when it says it's through faith. For the Holy Spirit is the one who works faith in our hearts and lives. Question and answer 21 of the Catechism mentions that, how it's the Holy Spirit who works by the gospel in my heart, that faith, that not only to me, but also to others, remission of sin, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace, for the sake of Christ's merits. The point is, congregation, when Paul begins to tell us the blessings with the gospel of justification by faith alone, he clearly shows us this doctrine is of God triune in all three persons and their works. And I ask you, isn't this so encouraging and awe-inspiring to think about and to meditate upon? Consider how God triune gave Himself wholly to plan and to accomplish and apply a salvation which is all of grace, all of God, all for our good, that we sinners so desperately need and are so undeserving of ourselves by nature. I had to think about it too, being baptized in God's triune name, even as covenant children of believing parents, or when baptized as an adult believer, isn't the triune God brought so near to us? And this doctrine of justification brought so close to us, ready at hand for us in Christ Jesus? Doesn't the water of baptism ever remind us of the riches of salvation when turning from sin and self and instead now trusting and following the triune God of the Bible as revealed to us in the crucified and risen Savior of sinners? Yes, the very God proclaiming to us also this precious gospel tidings of justification by faith alone through Jesus Christ. Congregation, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah confessed as his only hope and comfort from the belly of the fish, you know, that had swallowed him up alive. Well, do you know and confess to in spirit and truth, salvation is of the Lord? And does our study on the precious and powerful Christian doctrine of justification by faith alone help us be persuaded of this? And are you thus guided and comforted by this in your own lifetime too, right now? You know, the other day I heard on the radio as I was driving about a plumber problem. A guy had a plumber problem, and he tried to fix it on his own. And he Googled what he had to do, but of course he couldn't really fix it. He made more of a mess. We can identify with that, at least I can. And the point is of that advertiser was, you know, trust the experts. Don't try something you can't do yourself. I had the same thing this week with computer problem. I had a computer problem. Couldn't solve it after 3 days. I tried different things. I Googled this. I Googled that. I could not solve it. Finally, I had to call Mr. Nerd, the computer expert. It took him 2.5 hours to fix it, which did console me a little bit. It was a pretty deep problem. But he fixed it. Trusted the experts. Congregation, our justification is nothing we can solve. But the expert God can solve it. He's found a way. He's planned a way. And that way works. It is beautiful. And you know what? You had to pay the plumber. I had to pay Mr. Nerd. But God's salvation is free by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And it's so good. It gives so much reason. We don't have to live, congregation, depending on ourselves to solve our justification before God. God, triune, has found a way. He made a way. It's the gospel. It's the good news. We don't live dependent on ourselves. The gospel is live dependent on Him, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you will not be put to shame. And here we consider our next point, namely how trustworthy is this doctrine of justification before God by faith alone. And to bring out how trustworthy this doctrine is, think first how untrustworthy is any and every other means of salvation before God. I mean, doesn't the whole Bible show over and over a salvation and acceptance before God by our works is most futile and forever in vain? It never cuts it. It always falls short. It's never sure. You see, unless you and I can give to God absolute perfect obedience to all the law of God without a single transgression in anything, in any way, before His holy law, we're just doomed and we're condemnable and damnable under the curse of God and His unchanging, righteously condemning law against sin. You see, God is of purer eyes than to behold any iniquity. And never, ever can it be that a few of our so-called good deeds, which are always still marred by sin, will somehow cover up and make up for our countless sinful and wicked thoughts, words, and deeds. I read this week, justification by faith alone must be by faith alone, since we have so many private sins just, besides our public sins, that it would be insanity to think that we could stand before God in ourselves with a clear conscience. Congregation, have you learned? It's just hopeless for us. Except we trust and know the one way of salvation that God Himself has most graciously designed and perfectly provided for us in and through Christ Jesus and faith in Him. He's such a great Savior, God. There's every reason to run to Him daily. You see, to be righteous before God, that is justified by Him, means for you and me to be rightly, totally acceptable and related to God and to his law, under God's favor and approval and blessing. And congregation, the only trustworthy way for that, for you and me, is this blessed and most gracious good doctrine of justification by faith alone. And the Lord is calling us to hear this doctrine and believe it. Ironically, congregation, the more you and I grasp something of how hopeless salvation is with ourselves as depraved, defiled sinners, the more hopeful and precious becomes then also this doctrine of grace, justification by faith alone. Yet we can be so slow to learn it, and having learned it, we can so easily forget it again too. Isn't this the Christian challenge all too often? Let me explain further also personally. When as a younger person and raised in a Christian home, God by his grace led me to look to Jesus for salvation and want to live for him truly. Yet it took me a while, beloved, before I grasped the wonder of justification by faith alone. I mean, with that, so often still I thought, when I just live rightly, and when I was able to say no to sin and this world, well, then God surely would bless me and it, with his peace and mercy and love, and I could feel good. But that was just really a form of works righteousness if you think it through. And at the same time, when I had bad days, which I had often enough, and when I struggled with sin and temptation and the lust within and the luring attractions of the world, then I would say to myself, well, how can I be a Christian, accepted of God, and truly be God's dear child? And my error, you see, was thinking my good or bad behavior determined my relationship with God. My being in his good books or bad books, my being justified or not, it somehow was all dependent on me. And the result was, beloved, there was no lasting peace with God and no growing in grace and in godliness, but more just a lot of conviction and even depression, always mistakenly thinking that my right standing with God was somehow, some way, had to be dependent on my right living before God. But then, oh, not in the same dramatic way, I'm sure, as Martin Luther experienced it, but still in a similar way. The light of the gospel was by God's Spirit and Word graciously and grandly made plain to my mind and heart. Namely, how I am justified never by anything God ever does in me or that I ever do for him. No, but only always just based on all that God has done outside of me, all in Jesus' person and work alone. And we are justified and come in a right standing before God, not at all after somehow cleaning up our lives, but rather just simply and only with our messed up lives looking to Jesus and calling on him to be our Savior and Lord. And so gracious and totally free and totally good and complete and of God is the gospel of salvation that not even, and I love this too, truly too, not even congregation, our repentance from sin justifies us. No, instead we are justified by faith, which is looking away from self to Christ alone, and the just shall live by faith. Yes, wherever there's faith, there will be repentance, but we're not saved by our repentance. We're saved by faith. One of the great struggles and troubles in the Christian life is forgetting this time and again and ever falling into the error that somehow our life of sanctification contributes and brings about and seals our justification. But no, while justification and sanctification are never to be separated, for where the one is, truly the other will also be, by God's grace and Spirit, yet never, ever should we confuse the two, but keep them always distinct, though never apart. Well, when I first really understood this, then I may be justified by faith alone, justified thus truly and really, totally before God, even when my life was yet in such a mess, and I still had to struggle with so many sins and so much sinfulness by nature. Oh, that was truly most delightful and comforting to learn. And I discovered Jesus is a Savior so great and good to run to every day again. And it's not, congregation, as if my justification then was a false thing because, well, after all, I was still such a sinner and still am such a sinner by nature in myself. No, but rather it shows it's absolutely trustworthy and right because, you see, it's God seeing me now when I believing in Jesus, trusting Him. It's God seeing me now, justifying me now in and through Christ, in whom is all our righteousness, through His perfect work of salvation, His active and passive obedience as crucified and risen Savior of sinners. And to Him be all the glory. As Peter thus says also in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also once suffered for sins, not His own sins, but for Jesus was sinless, but for the sins of His people, yes, as the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God and put to death, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Well, when this good news, so gracious and free, taught me that I didn't need to become a better person before I could ever hope to become saved and to be justified before God, when I realized that God justifies the ungodly who call on Jesus Christ in faith, imputing to me, crediting to me all that perfect representative salvation work of Jesus that I need to be saved. Oh, then that took away, congregation, the burdens with believing on Him on account of my repeated failures. And it brought on instead the blessings in believing on Him, ever looking to Jesus and His completed perfect salvation work from start to finish, credited to my account. It caused me really to rejoice in my Savior and in my salvation, even when struggling still. In a real sense, congregation, it taught me Jesus, so great a Savior, so great, we should run to Him every day. And in a real sense, we have to say, with the Christian gospel, we have nothing required, absolutely nothing required of us to do ourselves to become in a right standing before God. For Jesus has done all that had to be done, which also we never could do on our own anyways. Simply by faith, faith in Jesus Christ as my only refuge and help, our status before God is truly changed once for all from guilty to not guilty, from condemnable to justified. With justification by God's grace alone, in and through Christ, there is a total cancellation of our sin debt through Christ's once for all sacrifice, even to the death of the cross. At the same time, there is the imputation that is the lifelong crediting to my account of Jesus' perfect righteousness from Jesus' totally sinless and holy life. Yes, all for Jesus' sake alone, by grace alone, through faith alone in Him. Well, this congregation is the unbelievable, gracious good news of the gospel, so perfectly suited for us sinners. It's the most powerful, precious Christian doctrine of justification by faith alone, telling us Jesus has done it all, and trusting Him, we can be justified, and we are justified. Well, we don't preach or teach this doctrine properly without opening up the charge of skeptics, saying you are offering grace that is so free, it doesn't make any difference how a person lives. You know, that same charge was spoken against Jesus by the Pharisees, and against Paul from the religious leaders in his day, and against Luther by the Roman Catholics long ago. But that criticism is so very false and even devilish on two fronts. One, it wants to take away the only hope of salvation for us, all of grace of God from beginning to end, in and through Christ Jesus. Plus, it denies the gospel truth that always those whom God justifies, He also sanctifies. And the meaning here is, when you learn so gracious and good gospel by God's Word and Spirit, you also are led by God's Word and Spirit in the way of true conversion, wanting ever to live to wholehearted praise and devotion to so great a God and so wonderful salvation He has planned and accomplished for His people, as many as repent and believe on Him. Well, this is what Romans 6 to 8 further explains, where Paul addresses the calling and life of the justified to live sanctified lives to God's praise and glory. He expands on it also in Romans 12 to 16. So we read in the Apostle Paul say in Romans 6, 1 to 2, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? All this to say, beloved, not only what Trinitarian gospel truth is the doctrine of justification by faith alone, but also it's such trustworthy gospel truth. Do you acknowledge this personally as well? Each one here listening online? Notice again what Paul says in verse 1. Therefore, in view of Christ crucified and risen again, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There has been some debate about whether the phrase, we have peace with God, is an indicative statement of fact, or more a gospel exhortation for us to follow. And some of the Greek manuscripts also contribute to that debate. But clearly, everything in the text and its context speaks of this being what we have, beloved, in Christ, through Christ. And we can know, yes, Christians can know for sure, those who look to Jesus in faith, they can know for sure this is truly to be the case for all who believe in Jesus. We have peace with God. We don't have to say then, let us have peace with God. But rather, it's a matter of gracious gospel fact and accomplishment for us in and through Jesus Christ, for Christ's sake alone. We have peace with God in believing in Him. It's our new status for us, for Jesus' sake alone. We are justified before Him and therefore no longer condemnable before Him, forever blameless rather and righteous in His sight, for Jesus' sake alone, by grace through faith in Him. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, says the Apostle Paul, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is very important for us to realize here is there is no matter of degree or measure of being justified or not. While that's true in sanctification, that one is more Christ-like than another, yet with justification, your status is either one or the other. Your status is changed once for all, from guilty to not guilty, from condemnable to justified. And once justified by God, you will never be unjustified. It's impossible. You will never be unjustified. And that's because the basis of our justification lies always outside of ourselves, in Christ Jesus. And that perfect basis, the believer's righteous new standing then in and through Christ, never changes. For all who are justified by faith in Jesus, the ever reliable Savior of sinners. Well, do you see the gospel sense of this with me, congregation, and the preciousness of this? Do you see with me there is truly that Jesus is so great a Savior, not for us to run to Him daily? And something else that just clinches how trustworthy is this gospel doctrine. Notice what we read in verse 2 of Romans 5. There Paul gives two verbs in the so-called perfect verb form, meaning he speaks of it not only being once accomplished, but forever being the case. And it keeps on being the case. Paul says thus, we have access, perfect tense, once for all access, yes, to this new gracious status of being justified with God in and in a forever peace relationship with God. And he says, by faith into this grace in which we stand. That's the second verb, in which we stand and may keep standing, perfect tense, for always, and rejoice in hope in the glory of God. In other words, congregation, the doctrine of justification by faith truly changes everything in regards to our status and standing with God. By faith alone, in Christ alone, we are justified by His blood. Gospel tidings, in that it's one, Trinitarian gospel truth, and two, trustworthy gospel truth. And next, notice thirdly, it's transforming gospel truth too, without a doubt. We already touched on this point, so I won't say too much more about it, except to reinforce, with God saving sinners like us, you and me, those whom God justifies, He also sanctifies. And while justification is a once-for-all singular salvation act of God apart from us and outside of us and for us, Well, the work of sanctification, we know, is also a salvation act of God, but it's God's ongoing ministry in us and involving us even by His Holy Spirit and Word in our lives. Justification is about being declared righteous by a one-time legal declaration of God for Jesus' sake and faith in Him, while sanctification is about being made righteous by God's grace and Spirit before God and our neighbor. And it's a lifelong process with ups and downs, only completed and perfected when God's people come to die and enter the glory of heaven. Well, on this third point, let me only say and stress, all who are truly and thankfully caught up in confessing the wonder of justification by faith alone, then also by God's grace and Spirit become preoccupied in ever looking to live all out for Jesus as only Savior and Lord, and being very repentant when failing in that way. Then we live no longer in the way of bondage, in the way of sanctification, looking somehow to earn God's favor and our salvation from God by how we live. No, but we live this way in the way of praise and thankful joy, looking to praise God for His complete salvation, so rich and free, all apart from us, for Jesus' sake alone. You know, it sure gave me new desires and new energy in the way of godliness, knowing my justified status before God was never dependent on my sanctification in my life, not one bit. Instead of this making me less zealous in the way of good works, it made me all the more zealous. And it gave me joy and peace in the way of good works. I've told you before, it's this doctrine that compelled me to become a minister of the gospel because it's such good news. And think here of the people who really understood justification by faith, like Abraham, David, Paul, Luther. You could mention Sproul and many others, way, way more, but I'm just mentioning some famous ones. Didn't these people who understood this doctrine live out for God's glory and for the advancement of His gospel throughout the world, knowing its preciousness and its power to save sinners under the blessing of God? It tells Jesus, too great a Savior, not to run to Him daily. So we conclude now with our fourth main point, just confirming that it's such tremendous gospel truth, this doctrine. And what I mean with that is, what makes this doctrine of justification by faith so tremendous, beloved, is that it brings us time and again back to Jesus Christ as our all and all, in whom is the whole of our salvation from start to finish. Oh, how good it is to fall back on this doctrine after another day and week of seeing in how many ways we failed yet to live for God and good, even when we truly desire to live only always for God and good. With this doctrine of justification by faith alone, being declared right with God by grace alone, with trusting Christ alone as our Savior and Lord, and as our right standing with God, it's so sure doctrine of salvation and so secure. I mean, what assurance of faith this doctrine gives us, even in our worst days. We don't need to be doubting this gospel fact even in our worst of days, but be brought instead again to this only foundation of our salvation, Christ Jesus and His finished work for us as Savior of sinners. Very interestingly, Romans 5:2 also makes clear our justification in and through Christ is a reality of the past and for the present and for the future. Therefore, having been past justified by faith, we have peace with God, present tense, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, future. Paul goes on to say in verse 3 and following how much confidence and comfort we may have in all of life, even in those dark and difficult days, ever looking to Jesus and trusting and following Him. As we read in Romans 8, God's people, trusting the gospel of Romans 5:1-2, can know the super good news of Romans 8, verse 1, about no more condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus, and being more than conquerors through Him, whether we live or die. You and I can live and die in peace, beloved, with the doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, regardless of the struggles we yet endure. If, however, you reject this doctrine, you only live and die hopelessly, in hopeless misery, and under constant condemnation of God apart from Christ. Well, this morning the gospel was brought very close to us, making it so clear, beloved. It is so free and gracious and powerful and wonderful, living and dying in faith in Christ. If you are one who, for whatever reasons, has not yet come to Christ, then come to Christ today, seeing his gospel so rich and free, so gracious and good for now and forevermore. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, says Jesus. Oh, let us all come to him and receive out of his fullness grace for grace, thinking just of the Trinitarian gospel truth and the trustworthy gospel truth and this transforming gospel truth and tremendous gospel truth of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Again, don't you think so too? The more the church would grasp and glory in this gospel teaching, wouldn't we and shouldn't we then share with others also this Jesus Christ, made known to us of God the Father and by the Holy Spirit, who is so rich a Savior, so good to run to every day. When the 16th century reformers rediscovered the doctrine of justification, it led to the greatest missionary and world-impacting movement of grace and truth sounded throughout the world, bringing about so much reformation and revival and missionary activity throughout the church and world of that day. Oh, that we might see that again today. By the power of God, the Holy Spirit, saving sinners everywhere and building up his people everywhere with this precious, wonderful, astounding doctrine of infinite grace, justification by faith alone, as taught us in the Bible, giving every reason to run to this Christ without delay, once and again and again and again, till journey's end. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are very conscious of stammering about a truth that is so unbelievably precious and perfect for hopeless sinners. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit you will make the stammering to be something that ministers to our minds and hearts, giving hope and help and comfort and encouragement in ever looking to Jesus.